Thank you very much. Our subject for this evening is Babylon the Great. Who is it? There are two cities in the Bible that are the most prophesied about cities on the face of the earth. Jerusalem is one. Babylon the Great is the other. There is a great controversy that is swirling right now throughout the land concerning the true identity of Babylon the Great. It's referred to many times in the book of Revelation and in other places in Scripture. So this evening, we're going to investigate what the Bible actually teaches about the identity of Babylon the Great. The reason that's so important is because horrible and terrible judgment is pronounced upon Babylon. It's mentioned quite a number of times in the book of Revelation. It's a time just ahead. And so it's going to pay all of us to know who Babylon the Great is. Now, the theory that is floating around varies. Some people say Babylon is Rome. Others say Jerusalem. Some say it's the United States of America. Many are teaching right now that it's New York City. Some say it's the United States and New York City. Others say that Babylon is the end time economic system. When we look at Babylon, some people think that there are actually three Babylons: religious Babylon, political Babylon, and economic Babylon. Now, the reason we need to discuss this in particular this evening is because some even say that the judgment prophesied upon Babylon in Revelation chapter 18 and other places was fulfilled on September the 11th, 2001, with the attack on the World Trade Center. So we need to know not what some theory says, but we need to know actually what the Bible says. We all know that September the 11th is a day that we will never forget. The big question is it a day actually prophesied in the Holy Scriptures? If it is, we want to know. If it's not, of course, we want to know as well. Let's take a look at some of the prophecies that seem to indicate that it, in fact, was New York City and the Trade Center. Revelation 18:2 tells us, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird." Verse 3 states, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." All these are prophecies about Babylon in the book of Revelation. Chapter 18, verse 5 through 7, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, according to her works. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her." Verse 8, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." Verse 9 through 10, "They shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And they cast dust on their heads, and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, for in one hour is she made desolate." Verse 21 of chapter 18.
And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Let's look at the similarities between what happened on September the 11th in New York City and what actually was stated here in Scripture. Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. Again, verse 8. Famine, she shall be utterly burned with fire. Verse 19, and they cast dust on their heads. Verse 21, that great city, Babylon, shall be thrown down. It shall be found no more at all. Now here's the theory that many people are ascribing to. Many prophecy teachers are ascribing to it. They say Babylon is the United States. The financial center of the United States is New York City. New York City is where Wall Street is found. And Wall Street is the center of world trade. Now, there are some problems, even though this sounds pretty good. Ashes, we had a lot of ashes in New York City. We had a lot of weeping during the attack on New York City. And yet there's some problems. I want you to look at this in verse 2 of chapter 18. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. We have to ask ourselves, is that applicable to New York City? In verse 4, the voice says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. Verse 9, the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. They bewail her. They lament for her. Has that, in fact, happened? Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. So is that true? Have we found that nobody's buying the merchandise of the merchants anymore? Verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls and fine linen, were all these things manufactured in the World Trade Center. Of purple and silk and scarlet, all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of the most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble. Does this apply to New York City? Is New York City, in fact, Babylon? Verse 13, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour, and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. Verse 14, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. It goes on to say in verse 15, the merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Did that happen? Finally, verse 16, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet. Is New York clothed with purple and scarlet, with fine linen, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls? And the light of the candle shall shine no more in thee at all. Is the light of the candle in New York City tonight? The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. Is anyone getting married in New York City this evening? For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Verse 24 of chapter 18. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Have the blood of prophets, have the blood of saints been found in New York City? So the World Trade Center did fall. Wall Street did not fall. The city did not fall. Just the World Trade Center fell. The word utterly destroyed, which describes what will happen, does not apply. The Trade Center was destroyed, but New York City was not. Stocks are trading tonight. There's been no famine, even though it plainly predicts at the time of the judgment of Babylon, there will be famine. And even though there was a lot of dust, we saw no pictures of people casting dust on their own heads in despair. It didn't happen. And the Bible says that Babylon will no longer be found. New York City is still there. It can still be found. Now, it goes on. There are many other factors. Nations are still doing business with Wall Street. Her merchandise is still bought. She is not clothed with purple and red. She does not deceive by sorceries. She does not kill prophets and saints. Never has. Now, we pause it here a moment to make sure that when these theories began to surface, when a dramatic event like September the 11th occurs, it's awful easy to say, well, I think this means this, and this means this, and this means that. And we jump on the bandwagon and we jump to conclusions that are not biblical. That's something that we should never do. So the bottom line is simply this. Revelation 18, the judgment of Babylon was not fulfilled. September the 11th, 2001. However, there is as much prophecy about the judgment of Babylon in the book of Revelation than any other single subject. So God apparently views it as being very, very important. So we have to ask tonight, who then is this Babylon that's going to be terribly judged throughout the book of Revelation? Let's look at the identity of Babylon in Revelation chapter number 18. And the first thing we need to know is that the Babylon of Revelation 18 is the same Babylon as Revelation 17. Now, this is key. How do we know that? We can tell by comparing the prophecies about Babylon in Revelation 17 with the prophecies about Babylon in Revelation 18. In Revelation 17:2, it states, "And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Chapter 18, verse 3. "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." There are people who believe that the Babylon of Revelation 17 is a different Babylon than the Babylon of Revelation 18. In Revelation 17, 2, it tells us, "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication." In 18:3, it says, "The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her." In 18:9, it says, "The kings of the earth have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her." So it says the exact same thing about the Babylon of Revelation 17 as Revelation 18. In Revelation 17:1, it speaks of her judgment. "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Verse 10 of chapter 18, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour thy judgment is come." So we see item after item that the things that are said about Babylon in chapter 17 are the exact same things said about Babylon in chapter 18. In verse 4 of chapter 17, it states, "And the woman was arrayed with purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." Revelation 18:16. "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls." The exact same description of Babylon in both chapter 17 and chapter 18. Revelation 17:6, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." Revelation 18:24, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints." So we can see that all of the descriptions of Babylon in Revelation 17 also apply to Babylon in Revelation 18. So we're able to conclude that the Babylon of Revelation 17 is the same Babylon of Revelation 18. Now another question can help us here. When is Babylon going to be destroyed? Does the scripture tell us when Babylon is going to be destroyed. Since we know that Revelation 18 is the same as Revelation 17, let's see if we can find out who the Babylon of Revelation 18 is. Let me back up with you there for just a moment. We want to know, when is Babylon going to be destroyed? In Revelation chapter number 14, verse 7 through 8, we're told about the destruction of Babylon. It reads like this: "For the hour of his judgment is come. Babylon is fallen, that great city." Now, it happens in Revelation 14, verse 7 and 8. In Revelation 18, 2, it says, "Babylon the great is fallen." In Revelation 14, 7 through 8, it says that she made all nations drink of the wine of her fornication. She was fallen. In Revelation 16, it also talks about the fall of Babylon. It states there in Revelation 16, 16 through 17, "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air." Now we're learning something else. Verse 19, "And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." Verse 19 of chapter 16 tells us that the judgment of Babylon happens at Armageddon. We have Armageddon in Revelation 16, verse number 16, and Babylon is destroyed in verse 19. It happens at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. Of course, it's at Armageddon that Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, defeats the armies of the Antichrist, and ends the time of human government. That's when we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation 17, verse 1, it tells us, "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots." So the same judgment of Revelation 16 is described again in Revelation 17, verse 1. And then in Revelation 16, 19, it talks about the judgment of Babylon. In Revelation 18, 5, it says, "For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Revelation 16, again, it talks about the judgment of Babylon. Revelation 18, 4, it states, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues." Her judgment is getting ready to be poured out there. Now, let's summarize what we're saying here. Babylon is judged in Revelation 18. It's the same judgment as in Revelation 17. It's the same judgment as in Revelation 16. It's the same judgment as in Revelation 14. Let me pause just a moment. This can be very confusing if you approach the book of Revelation with the assumption that the book of Revelation is in chronological order from beginning to end. It is not. These are the exact same event, because the book of Revelation is in an order, but it's not in chronological order from beginning to end. The sixth and seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh vial are the exact same thing. The book of Revelation is written a lot like the Gospels are written. Several different accounts of the exact same event. That's the situation here. The seals are the long story ending at Armageddon. The trumpets are the shorter story ending at Armageddon. The vials are the real short story which take place at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. So when you see Babylon being destroyed, that's not several different destructions of Babylon. It is one and the same destruction of Babylon. So the hour of judgment is when the fall of Babylon takes place. The fall of Babylon takes place at the judgment of the great whore. The fall of Babylon takes place in Revelation 16, 19, 18, 5. And we know it occurs at the time of the seventh vial, because in chapter 16 it tells us that when the seventh vial happens, Babylon comes in remembrance for her judgment. So what do we know from all of this then? The seventh vial is Armageddon. Consequently, we can conclude for certain from Scripture that the destruction of Babylon happens at Armageddon, not September the 11th, 2001. That's very important because many people are believing right now that that portion of the book of Revelation has been fulfilled. And if they believe that, they're going to become very, very confused. So now then we know that Babylon is not New York City. Babylon is not the United States of America. So the question becomes, who is Babylon in Revelation chapter number 18? Now there are three clues here. Revelation 16 tells us when it happens at Armageddon. Revelation 18 describes the judgment. But Revelation 17 discloses the identity of who Babylon is, Babylon the Great. Revelation 17:1, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. So the first thing we know is that this woman is Babylon. On her forehead is a name written, Babylon the Great. What does this symbolism mean then? Why is she called a woman? In verse 18, it tells us what the woman stands for. It says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So it's true that Babylon the Great in Bible prophecy is a city. We know that for sure. Now in verse number 1 of chapter 17, it says that the woman sat upon many waters. What do the waters symbolize? We don't have to guess. Verse 15 tells us very clearly. It says, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Now let's put this together in our mind here. So, the woman is a city. And furthermore, she sits on peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Not only is she a city, but an international system of some sort. So apparently a city with international influence. We know that because of verse 15. Now in verse number 3 of this passage, the woman is sitting upon a 7-headed, 10-horned beast. And it says in verse 9, here is mine which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now let's make sure we understand here. The woman is a city, and the 7 heads symbolize the 7 mountains on which the woman sits. We could read that. Since she is a city, the 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the city sits. So now then, this prophecy is giving us clue after clue. And God really wants us to know this because there's so much prophecy about it in the book of Revelation. Here He's telling us that the woman is a city. She's called Babylon the Great. Her judgment is referred to over and over again. And Almighty God tells us that this city is in the presider over an international system. She sits on peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And then He tells us more specifically that the city sits on 7 mountains or 7 hills. I'll never forget standing at the base of the Roman Colosseum in 1993. Our Roman Catholic guide had us all back up against the wall of the Colosseum. He proudly said to us, from here you can see several of the 7 hills, the famous 7 hills of Rome. He says, there's Palatine, there's Avignon, and he went around and he began to name them all. And I knew this scripture was in the Bible. And I'm listening to this man confirm to me what I had been told, that Rome is the city of 7 hills. Now, I want to remind you that this prophecy was written before Rome became the headquarters for an international system that boasts 1 billion members, that international system called the Roman Catholic Church. This was written before that ever happened. But Almighty God, in His incredible foreknowledge, wanted us to know that there was an entity on this earth that was so perverted and vile and false and wrong, that he over and over and over again referred to the pent-up judgment that was coming. And we've got to pause right here to absorb this. Because we are living in an era when many Christian churches are deciding it's time to go back to Rome. And yet, we're living in the same era when it's time for this horrible judgment. And while many, even ministers, are standing in pulpits saying, "Let's go home to Mother," the Scriptures are saying, "Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins and receive not of her plagues." Now, I'm very conscious right now that this is not easy material to receive, especially in this time when we're preaching religious tolerance. And I do not believe in religious persecution for any reason ever. I do not believe you can ever force any person to serve Jesus Christ. If you could, he wouldn't accept it, because he's looking for a bride, not a slave. Consequently, I am not here this evening to preach hatred toward any religion. I don't hate Muslims. I don't hate Roman Catholics. I don't hate Buddhists. But I do love them enough to tell them they're wrong and they're believing something that can never save them. I knew it was going to get quiet. What am I saying to you? We are living in a time when even our president has been so infected with the doctrine of interfaithism that he feels compelled to repeat over and over again that the Muslim faith is a great religion. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not a great religion. It is a great heresy. It is paganism. Do you realize that they teach that Jesus Christ was not the Messiah? Do you realize they teach that Jesus never died on the cross? That was a phantom that they substituted? They do not believe that Jesus Christ shed his blood. They have totally taken out the only thing that can save a human being. They do not believe that he rose from the dead. So it's not a great religion. And furthermore, Allah is not God. There's only one true God, and his name is not Allah. Now, I'm not here to bash anyone tonight, but I'm here to simply say that we are in an era when all religions, there's a global spirituality taking place right now, and it really appeals to the flesh. I don't mind telling you, I would like nothing better than for all Christians to be in one true church. Wouldn't that be a wonderful, marvelous thing? And we should do that if we could do it on the basis of truth. It's presently being done, but it's not being done on the basis of truth. It's being done on the basis of compromise. And that's what a harlot does. She compromises herself. That's the reason God uses a woman to symbolize a church. God always uses a woman to symbolize a church. He uses a virgin for the true church in Scripture, and he uses the distasteful word whore for a false church. And Almighty God said in the last times there will be a great spiritual entity on this earth that will be full of sorceries. The same Roman Catholic guy, as we were walking through the Vatican Museum, shocked the daylights out of me when he turned to our group and said, "You know, the word Vatican means the house of the fortune tellers and the soothsayers." I knew this scripture was in the Bible, that the kings of the earth would be deceived by the abundance of our sorceries. I turned to him and I said, "What? You know, the Roman Catholic Church knows it means that and they keep the name?" He said, "Well, we changed it for a while, but we just decided to change it back." But the fact is, God ordained for them to keep that name because He wanted people to understand who Babylon really is, so you won't be a part of Babylon. I understand very much that this is heavy material and we're all thinking of all the ramifications of this right now. Because lately, there's been a real campaign on for all churches to even switch pulpits with denominations. We are in the throes of the ecumenical movement. Until today, Lutherans, Presbyterians, and Episcopalians have agreed to interchange pastors. If an Episcopalian church needs a pastor and there's none available, you can get a Presbyterian or a Lutheran pastor. That's been an official decision. And all of these denominations are edging closer to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, I'm talking to you about this tonight because I personally believe that the teaching that New York City is Babylon is Satan's smokescreen to try to keep us from knowing who it really is, so that he can sweep us into the false religious system of the Antichrist and his religious partner, the false prophet. I won't have time this evening to tell you how I know this, but you can prove conclusively that whoever the Antichrist is, his religious partner, the false prophet, will be the Pope. Whoever is Pope at the time of the Antichrist, he will fulfill the role of the false prophet. In the Holy Roman Empire, there have always been two rulers, a political leader and a spiritual leader. The exact same thing is depicted in Revelation 13. There's two beasts. And the first beast is the symbol of the Antichrist and his world government. The second beast is a symbol of a lamb that speaks like a dragon. The lamb looks like Jesus Christ, but the dragon is the devil. It speaks like the devil. It looks like a Christian. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, this becomes very confusing when you don't know for sure how to make sense of all of it. And that's the reason Almighty God spent so much time. It's more important for us to understand who the false prophet is than for us to understand who the Antichrist is. And it's much more important for us to understand who Babylon the Great is than it is to understand who the United Nations is. Because the UN only deals with our political future, but the false prophet and Babylon the Great deals with our forever. If you can come under the umbrella of Babylon the Great, you will receive of her damnation. That's the reason Revelation 18:4 says, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. What am I saying to you this evening? I am saying that most Christianity has changed every major doctrine in the Scriptures, and all of us have gotten used to it. Let me just give you an example. The Scriptures say, baptism doth now save us. To a great majority of Christianity, that's like waving a red flag in front of a bull. Because they would say quickly, baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He says baptism is for the remission of sins. And yet there has been such an insidious moving away from truth to man-made doctrines. And all of it originates in the Roman Catholic Church. Infant baptism is another one. The Bible clearly states, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And yet, babies at the age of 8 days are baptized. Scripture plainly says you must believe the gospel and make a conscious decision to obey it before you can be baptized. And yet, the practice is now rampant throughout the world to baptize infants. Not one infant was ever baptized in the entire Bible. However, this is Satan's master plan to hide the truth in the end time. Somehow, we're not going to allow him to do that. because we're going to boldly declare, even if it's not very popular, that Babylon the Great was not New York City, that Babylon the Great is Rome. It's the city of seven hills. It's the headquarters for a vast international system that rules over peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Let's look at the rest of the clues. Revelation 17, verse number 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. The ruling bodies of the Vatican, there are two ruling authorities. It's like the Senate and the House of Representatives. The cardinals are the Senate. The bishops and archbishops make up the House of Representatives. I'll never forget when going through a beautiful church in St. Louis, Missouri. It was a Roman Catholic church, and it was noted for its architecture. We went inside, and while everyone was looking around, I was more drawn to their literature to see what they taught. They had a paper there called The Criterion. I put down my 50 cents, took a copy of the paper, got bored with looking at all the stone and pictures, and went out to the van until everyone else was finished, and was immediately fascinated by an article entitled More Than You Want to Know About Cardinals. And what I saw in that article absolutely astonished me, because it stated there that cardinals wear red while bishops and archbishops wear purple. I knew Revelation 17:4, talking about Babylon the Great, said that she would be arrayed in purple and red. Scarlet is red. And here I was looking at a Roman Catholic paper boldly declaring that the two ruling bodies of the Roman Catholic Church were officially to be attired in red and purple. They had my attention. Now, let's put all these clues together. Verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Has that ever happened? History tells us that multiplied millions have been put to death by the Roman Catholic Church. I went to the library myself and read an order from one of the popes condemning the entire nation of Norway to death, except for 55 people specifically named. This is so well known that the pope was recently forced to apologize for the past murders of his church. To his credit, he did that. But it doesn't change the truth about the matter. One estimate says that 68 million Christians have been put to death at the hands of Roman Catholicism. I read personally one report that in one six-year period during the time of the Inquisition, they put to death 6 million people in 6 years' time. I would remind you that this prophecy in Revelation 17 was written before that happened, before the colors red and purple were adopted, before Rome was the headquarters for the Roman Catholic Church. And yet Almighty God wanted every person that wants to know that He was foretelling about a blasphemous entity on this earth. He even used a woman, because He always uses a woman for His church. A virgin for the true church, a harlot for a false church. He says she'll be headquartered in Rome. She'll be decked with red and purple. She'll be drunken with the blood of the saints. And it even tells us that her name would be Mother of Harlots. Closer observance lets us know that if you're the mother of harlots, you have daughters that are doing the same thing that you are doing. When the Protestants broke off from the mother harlot church in the 16th century, that was the birth of the daughters. It's no wonder all the daughters are starting to go home today. The Protestant movement has even been declared as being over. They went back to Augsburg, Germany, and they signed a deal saying that there's no more reason to be called Protestants because we agree on the doctrine of justification by faith now. And that was the issue over which Martin Luther split the church. So now then, not only is she a harlot herself, but she has many false churches that came out of her that are now going back to her. And don't say that that's not happening. You know it's happening right now. It's happening. It's under the ecumenical movement. It's even getting worse under the interfaith movement. This may not be the most glamorous lesson I've ever taught to you, but it may be the most important, because we are in a struggle right now between true religion and false religion. When Jesus said in Matthew 24, the disciples said, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" The first thing Jesus Christ said was, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Jesus understood that the end times would be the most deceptive times in the history of the world. He even said, if possible, in those days, the very elect will be deceived. Aren't you glad he said, if possible? So when Jesus said, many shall come in my name and shall deceive many, that means many shall come under the banner of Christian and shall deceive many. And that's the reason it's so deceptive. We need to be able to tell the difference. Anything that smells like Rome, smacks like Rome, fellowships with Rome, condones Rome, and tries to say that Rome is a true Christian faith is a daughter of Rome. I was absolutely shocked in 1994 when I picked up the Indianapolis Star and read that prominent evangelicals such as Pat Robertson, Bill Bright, Chuck Colson, and others had signed a statement of unity with the Catholic faith, saying that they are born again as well as we are. And I don't want to be slanderous, but it's awful easy to talk all evening and say nothing. You need to know what is going on right now, because most of this church is heading toward a one-world political system called the United Nations, a one-world religious system. It's happening so fast right now. The Roman Catholic Church in 1994 issued a new catechism stating that Muslims also are included in the plan of salvation because they worship the one God of Abraham. That is absolutely untrue. Jesus said, except you believe I'm the Messiah, you will die in your sins. Jesus said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Allah cannot save anyone. The only salvation is through the world's only Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the Redeemer of mankind. There is no salvation outside of that. But even to the doors of our White House, and I am praying so much for President Bush. He's got the hardest job in the world right now. I don't know exactly where he stands on some issues. All I know is I'm appalled when he says that the Muslim faith is a great faith, that it's a great religion, and we respect the Muslim faith. I love Muslim people, but I detest the Muslim faith because it's a lie. And 1.2 billion people are presently going straight to hell because they're putting their confidence in that faith. Weak amens, but I did get a few. I know you're probably not used to hearing such pointed statements being made because we are living in the day of the politically correct preacher. I understand that. But it's probably too late for that, because we are right now staring in the eyes of a one world government system, and we're watching the interfaith movement took place. You're looking at a person that went to the Constitution signing for the United Religions Organization in Pittsburgh, June 26th. Of 2000. They had the signing that day because that was the anniversary of the Constitution signing for the United Nations, and they understood full well that they were creating a sister organization to the United Nations called the United Religions. And their goal is to bring the religions together like the United Nations has now brought the nations together, until the nations of the world are unified in fighting their common enemies. They call it the world community. Well, guess what they're going to call the United Religions Organization? Probably the World Religions or the World Church. they're moving in that direction very fast. I sat in that Constitution signing. I saw Jews, Protestants, Catholics, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, Wiccans. A Wiccan is a witch. I saw indigenous people. That's the people who worship the Great White Spirit, Native Americans. I saw them all there worshiping together. And I was there as an observer. I saw a Hindu lady leading prayer. She sat in the lotus position on a piano bench and she began to pray. After she prayed for a while, she broke into a chant. And she said, And I heard a faint refrain from the congregation, which I did not anticipate. I'd never been in that kind of a situation before. I heard the congregation answer, She came back a little louder with another, And the congregation got louder, and then she got louder, and then they got louder. And before long, everything in the place was umming except me. I knew that that was a chant used to worship Mother Earth. I had read it several years before. And here I'm watching all these earth worshipers worshiping the creature rather than the creator. In that ceremony, a call came from the United Nations, which was broadcast to the entire congregation, congratulating them on this historic step forward. The fact is, it was a huge leap backwards into paganism. I watched it all happening, and I was absolutely astounded. After the meeting, the person over our website who was with me, Dan Barkley, walked up to the lady who was doing the internet for the service. She was conducting the webcasting. She had a five-pointed star on a band on her head and a half moon. And Dan, being Dan, looked at her and said, I'm interested in your webcast, and I do the website for my ministry. I wonder, though, what's that headband you got on mean? She said, oh, I'm a Wiccan. And she said, these are the signs that we use. She was saying, I am a witch. A witch was doing the broadcasting for the United Religions. Catholics were there. The Catholic priest, a man by the name of O'Rourke, stepped forward. And right in the middle of all the presentations, he said, it was reported in the paper yesterday that me and my fellow Catholic priest are here as observers, that we are not officially sent by the church. He said, I want you to know that that is a false report. It is simply not true. I am not here as an observer. My church sent me here. My church wants me here. I am an official delegate. I am over ecumenism and interfaithism from the city of San Francisco. I couldn't resist. After the meeting was over, I walked up to Priest O'Rourke. And I said, I was interested in the remarks you had to say that he didn't suspect I would be there and be not in favor of all of the proceedings. I said, I'm very interested in the remarks that you had to make. I noticed that the Pope had an ecumenical service with Jews, Muslims, and Christians in the Holy Land earlier this year. When he goes into these types of meetings, is he transmitting the message that they need to embrace Jesus Christ as the Messiah? He looked at me, this Catholic priest looked at me and said, no, that's heresy. We don't believe that at all. And I was stunned. I understood that what I read in the Roman Catholic Catechism was not something that was slipped in inadvertently. It was something that was approved all the way to the Vatican. We acknowledge that the plan of salvation also includes others who have faith in the God of Abraham, in the first place amongst whom are the Muslims. It's on page 242, 243 of the paperback edition. I went to the store and bought a copy. What in the world is going on here? Anytime Israel went after false gods, they were accused of committing whoredom. And Now then, we're watching alliances with all the false gods in the world. And if you're going to change the major doctrines of the Bible, not one person in the Bible was ever sprinkled, not once. Sprinkling is not a legitimate form of baptism according to the Scriptures, because baptism is to be a burial. You know, why do we feel we have the right to change what they did in the Bible? Why don't we just do it like they did in the Bible? Why do we always have to climb up another way? And I just feel like we're at a junction now where we need to become really candid about these things. And when you sprinkle for baptism, you have not baptized at all, because the Bible says we are buried with Christ in baptism. So what am I saying to you tonight? This entire misconception that somehow New York City is Babylon the Great, in my opinion, is a doctrine hatched in hell to try to shield us from the truth as Satan's master plan of one world government, one world religion, and one world economic system is now in its closing days. And the jaws are right now being closed upon us. This is a master deception, because God doesn't want us to know that He foresaw this vast false religious system. A lot of people say, that's what's so confusing to me. How could there be all these Christian churches? How do I know which one is right? We have a booklet we wrote called Why So Many Churches and Which Is Right. It's a legitimate question. If I were Satan, I would do just what he did. I would create as many false churches as I can that no longer preach the Bible. Still have them masquerade under the name of Christianity. What am I saying to you today? I'm saying it's time for us to go back to the Bible. And whatever the Bible says, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It doesn't matter if nobody's doing it. The Scripture says, let God be true, let every man be a liar. What we need right now at this critical time, I mean, the time's over for playing church. It is time for people who love God and love truth to say, okay, enough already. I'm going right back to the Bible. Have you ever read the Bible and become uncomfortable with it? Have you ever read something like, speak evil of no man? And you remember what you said about your neighbor? You go, You know, you can either rationalize that away, or you can say, I've got to change my lifestyle. And if we rationalize it away, we don't love the truth. And the Bible says, because men receive not a love for the truth, they will believe a lie and be damned. But if you love the truth, you say, I love this word, even though it's cut me and it has corrected me. But let God be true, let every man be a liar. I'll change my lifestyle to conform to His lifestyle. Because Jesus Christ did not just come here as a Savior. He came here as an example. The Bible says that He gave us a pattern that we should walk in His footsteps. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so, New York City, the United States of America, is not Babylon. Babylon is the Vatican, the Roman Catholic Church. The daughters of mystery Babylon the Great are the daughter churches that came out of her. But in the midst of this world, there has to be a light in the darkness, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. So let's conclude here one more time the checklist, because as we leave here this evening, I want to make sure that we know one thing, and that is who Babylon the Great is. Let's go down the checklist one more time, and I'm doing this because on politics and religion, we can explain all this, and the next call I get acts like they didn't hear a word we said. Let me go one more time through the checklist. Let's look at the clues. We know that Babylon the Great is a city. Is Rome a city? Certainly. Is New York City a city? Yes. It could be either with that one clue. Also, Babylon is the headquarters for an international system. Is the Vatican located in Rome an international system? Absolutely. Have people all over the world. New York City, the head of an international system? You might be able to say that, the World Trade Center. Possibly so. Clue number three. This city is to sit on seven mountains. Does Rome sit on seven mountains? Of course it does. It's famous for that. Look in your encyclopedia. Rome, the city of seven hills. Does New York City sit on seven mountains? Absolutely not. The woman is to be arrayed in purple and red. Is the Vatican arrayed in purple and red? Certainly it is. Is New York City arrayed in purple and red? No way, Jose. The woman is to be a persecutor of the saints. Has Rome been a persecutor of the saints? Somewhere between 20 and 60 million. Take your choice, whichever history report you believe. It's too many. Yes, she has been. Has New York City ever been a headquarters for religious persecution? Not one time. Absolutely not. Does Rome have daughters? Yes, she does. Does New York City have daughters? I don't know of any. Conclusion? New York City is not Babylon the Great. Rome is Babylon the Great. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues.